For the queer rebels they force us to become, and for the scared kid I used to be, and the pride he finally found. All I want to be is very young always, and very irresponsible, and to feel that my life is my own to live, and be happy and die in my own way, to please myself. Zelda Fitzgerald, Alabama socialite, first American flapper of the Roaring Twenties. Rebel. Chapter 1.
Sometimes you have to face your fears, whether you want to or not. And I was absolutely terrified of heights. The metal edge of the billboard's catwalk scraped my knees as I tried to muster the courage to stand. Climbing the rusty ladder up 2 stories to the roof of Jones Hardware hadn't been easy, especially with a can of paint in tow. I've made it this far, I encouraged myself, taking a steady breath of warm night air. Just don't look. The concrete sidewalk of the town square waited below, and my eyes snapped shut. A gust of wind tousled my long, grown-out hair as I gripped the edge. If my father were here, he would ask me 1 simple question. It was the same question he'd asked when I came to him afraid of the boogeyman, or when I was nervous while learning to ride a bicycle. Anthony Zeke Chapman, he'd drone. What have I told you about fear? Don't let anyone see it. That was what I'd heard my entire life. Him telling me to hide my weaknesses so I could be the best version of myself. The version he'd molded me into. For the longest time, I'd thought that was who I wanted to be too. The best reputation, the best grades, the best type of gay. Silent, so the world wouldn't put a target on my back. Piss off, I said to all the memories of James Anthony Chapman, the jackass. I forced myself to open my eyes and stand. My hands were shaking as I checked the time on my phone. Its lit screen flashed 3 a.m., and I shoved it back into the pocket of my vintage leather jacket. Summer break officially began 3 hours ago. My nosedive of a junior year was over, my life free from the shit show it had become since last December. If I were still talking to my father, he'd say that he had tried to warn me about coming out. Gripping my backpack straps with white knuckles, I turned to see how high I'd climbed. A halo hovered over the town square thanks to the orange-hued street lamps. But it was the darkness lapping at the edge of their receding glow that captured my attention. That was exactly how it felt living in Beggs, Alabama. Growing up here had taught me that everyone expected you to blend in with that same perfunctory shine. And if you couldn't, or if you refused to fit it into their definition of good, you weren't welcome. Learned that the hard way, I whispered under my breath, the words lost with no one around to hear them. Somewhere deep inside was the old version of me, who still answered to Anthony, my first name, inherited from my father. I wondered what Anthony would be doing right now, if he was still on the varsity baseball team, the Wildcats, or if he was partying out in the cow pastures and pretending to flirt with cheerleaders, or if he was in bed without a worry instead of roaming the streets. But it didn't really matter, because this new version of me, who went by my middle name, Zeke, was here, just out of reach of the town's deceiving glow, and he was no longer welcome. And that made me angry. I'd given up on sleep hours earlier. The news Mom dropped at dinner still too loud in my head. The divorce was final after 5 months of back and forth between their lawyers. I'd snuck out of the apartment and jumped on my dirt bike, drove to the Fort Wood neighborhood where we once lived, climbed through my old bedroom window to get the shoebox I'd secretly kept in the bench seat beneath the sill. I had left it behind when we moved out because I'd thought I wouldn't need it anymore. Thought the secrets I'd been forced to keep didn't belong in our new life, where I wasn't his son anymore. But leaving it there with him didn't feel right either. It weighed heavily in my backpack as I turned to look up at the billboard.